Yeah, we started yesterday the sugya of Nekama, and we mentioned the chinuch, who explains that the reason why a person shouldn't take Nekama, the reason why a person shouldn't take Nekama because it's a gezeira, like the Rebbe Silas Yerushalmi says, because it's a gezeira as melechi. That's what the Rebbe Yerushalmi said, that you shouldn't take Nekama. But the chinuch explains a little bit the hashkafa behind that lav, that there's nothing to take Nekama from. The person didn't do it to you. The Rebbe Yerushalmi did it. Someone does something to you, you feel like taking the gum because you think he did it. Someone's maimik in the emuna, and that everything that happens to him was gzeira from Shemayim. So then it's not between you and anyone else, it's between you and the Rabbani Shalom. That's the Rabbani Shalom's treasure. Nothing to do with you. There's another whole sugi. I looked in the Rishonim a little bit earlier. There's another whole other Indian here in the Kama. That's even a little bit more difficult. As difficult as yesterday's, it was yesterday to be maimic and to absorb. It's another thing that's mentioned in the Rishonim that's even more difficult. But it's something to mention and to learn from, even again, as we said many, many, many times, even if we can't fully absorb in one shot, in one meal, we can't fully absorb the whole plate, but at least we should smell the food. Before we do that, I just want to read the rest of the paragraph, the example that Mesillas Yesharim gives about what it means not to do Nekama. We'll finish the Mesillas Yesharim, I'll go back and we'll talk a little bit more about Nekama. So it's page Ayin Hey, the second paragraph of the Inyan. The Inyan HaNekima VaHaNetira Yodua. The Inyan of Nekama and Netira is known, the Hainu, that it's as follows. Nekima is Limona Mehetev Nekama is to hold oneself back. Amazing. If I would have asked you what Nekama is, you would have said to do something bad to somebody. That's not even an avadi you're not allowed to do. Nekama is to not do good to someone who didn't want to do good to you or who did bad to you. That's Nekama. To be moinea oneself from being native to someone who did something bad to me. That's Nekama. Kol Shekain, to do something bad to him, that's upgrade. But even just, maybe you just like be a little bit cool attitude towards him. Not that Dafka go in to help someone who did something bad to you, that's also awesome. No wonder that he brings it in the kiosk, even though it's a perish of pasuk, but it's such a difficult thing. It's so tully in the lave to be able to be on a madrega. Not to not do something bad, okay, there are people that can hold themselves back, but to do good with enthusiasm to someone who did something bad to me, it appears that that's like from the highest madrigas. I mean, this is what Gedolim stories are full of. This is not for regular people. But Gzeiras Melechi, it doesn't say in Parshas Kedoshim that tzaddikim should do laisika and do laisita. It's a mitzvah, it's a Gzeiras Melech on us. To reach the madrega and to absorb into ourselves the proper hashgafa that we should be able to hold ourselves back from doing the kama. Incredible thing.
He says the Mishalei Rosh Plehitiv Loi has it pashut that it means even someone sounded bad. It's not really bechlal. If he wrote that it sounded bad to you, so bechlal, someone holds back quickly.
No, it's the name. Oisha Heira Loi.
Oisha.
Netira, what's Netira? Netira is that you're doing the good. Lahazkir be'eshim umeitim. To mention when you're being native to him, Lemisha Heiraloi, to someone who did bad to him, Ezazikarain and Harasha Asaloi. This, the Olam Ha'as Kars is very, very familiar with Netira. Someone asked someone for a ride. Can you please drive me to the bagel store? I'm too busy. And you know he's not too busy. He's not in the mood. He's too busy. It's very, very busy schedule. He takes out his appointment book, and it's very busy schedule. He checks. Too busy. That's not what's going on. He's too busy. He's not in the mood. And then the next day you have a car and he asks you for a ride to the bagel store. So you'll take him. You're a good guy. You'll take him. You go, I'm not too busy to take you to the bagel store. Who wouldn't do that? I just want to point out to you that I'm not too busy.
You have to say it out.
What?
You have to say it out.
For it to be Netira? That's the last.
sounds like it's pure love.
It's also a love that's just...
That's separate. That's another love. Yeah, Yitzchak's pointing out, saying if you don't speak it out, you could be over a different love. It also says that one in the Torah.
Yeah, I know.
You're
not trying to
And it's an amazing thing that the Ramchal is amazingly insightful. Ulefisha hayetzer hoylach u'martiach es halev. The yetzer continuously cooks up. Reseach means cooking. It makes a person angry. It makes a person, you know, like, it cooks up the anger. Martiach es halev. And this is such some of the things that I realize how true this is. The Yetzirah constantly tries that, you know, the person has this cheshek. To make some roshim, not to mamish make believe like it never happened, to do something to him. Even if I won't do to him exactly what he did to me, but some, at least make note of it. At least I should make some kind of macha. Something, but just mamish to do nothing, that's very, very, very hard for the Yetzer. That's what we learned yesterday. Chazak va'amitzu. Very, very difficult. If you can't leave a big zikaron, at least a little bit. Well, at least to do something. He would say, Derech Mashal, a person would say to you, and Rabbi said, we've heard these things. This is not the Mistil Sisharm's imagination. We've heard these things. Yomer Derech Mashal. A person says, "L'mashal, im tirtz alitein lo'ish hazeh, tashar lo'y ratzahu lasis l'cha, kishen itzrachta." If you want to give that person, Mamish could hear the cynicism. Mamish could hear the cynicism. All right, if you insist on giving this person this thing, even though he didn't do it for you, if you insist on doing him the favor that he didn't do for you, you insist on, like, you have to be so firm. This guy would not help you. You know, to save his life, he wouldn't help you, and you insist on helping him also. At least don't smile so sweetly at him when you do it to him. Show him a little bit that you have some resentment. Is that good advice? That's good. If you're not going to take nekama against him, at least don't do big favors for him. Don't help him very much. A person wouldn't do anything for you. And you, mom's going to help him? Are you crazy? People have tinnitus on you. You're out of your mind. Oy, im tirtza gam l'sayoy harbin. L'fofesh loy ta'aseyo b'fonav. And even if you're going to help him, but that he has to see that you're helping him, after everything he did to you, he has to watch you help. So do it as a matan b'seiser. But at least he shouldn't see that the person that he abandoned went ahead and helped him. At least that much. This is all the advice that the person would get. Don't go become close to him to be his friend. Now this, Rabbi says, I just want to point out, someone mentioned to me yesterday, Rafa mentioned to me yesterday, that sometimes a friend could betray you, so you realize that he's not a friend. I was masking to that. That's true. That's not a steer to what the Mesil Yisharim is saying. Sometimes it's possible that when someone does something, it's megala what his true relationship is. That's a fact. Sometimes you think someone's your friend. You might think he's your friend. And then he does such and such and such. You go, aha, I see what he really feels about me. But that the bad thing should cause me, therefore, not to be his friend in the future, that's awesome. It's a very, very fine difference between I now realize what the context of our relationship is, and I'm not going to be his friend in the future. Those are two different things. Nekama is, because of what he did, I am going to react to that. It's a separate thing. That's stam. You know, b'deyas b'yedem. Sometimes you think someone's very, very close to you. You have that impression. You know, sometimes a friendship is not, you know, it's not exactly k'mayim upon him, upon him. And you see the other person acts in a certain type of way, and you say, Kinira, he doesn't value the friendship so much. So now, that's a mutter. The question is, what's the next step? Okay, so I'll show him, I won't go to his simcha, I won't do... That's nekama. Kinira, he doesn't value the friendship, so now I have a better understanding of what our relationship is. It's different than I thought it was. Okay, that's fine. The difference is what the next step is. Mishael Shalom is not saying to be a fool. Obviously, when, the way people act tells you something about the way they feel about you sometimes. Sometimes it's not true. Sometimes they feel tremendous about you when it's, you know, they spaced out or they didn't realize there was a miscommunication, a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Even in that respect, you shouldn't jump. But even if it becomes clear sometimes to a person what the context of a relationship is, the question is, what's the next step? Like, let's say the person now wants the kamtaka to be a good friend. The person now draws close to you. Like, no, I've been burned. That's nakama. I'll give you an example. Let's say I'll make a simcha, and I'm inviting all my very, very, very close friends. And one person, I thought he was one of my close friends, and I realized afterwards that he's not. It was a mistake. Yeah, but that's something else. Again, it's not when it's megala a truth. I can't believe it. It's when it's megala a truth. You have a very good friend and he does something stupid. That's what he's talking about. You have a very good friend and he does something stupid to you. Not that it's redefining the relationship. It's two different things. And Rabbi said, be very, very careful before you think of someone redefining the relationship. Be very, very careful. Most, 99% of the time, it's a miscommunication. It doesn't mean anything. Or it's a stage, or it's a phase, or whatever, you know. But sometimes, all I'm pointing out is that sometimes you say, oh, I didn't realize that he feels that. Sometimes it's the other. Many times you get a pleasant surprise the other way, and you realize that the person is being Mara, much more Ava, much more Kesher, much more relationship than you thought. And then you also respond in kind. What he's talking about is that you have a very, very good friend, and he messes you up. So now you're not going to be such a good friend anymore. That's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. So he has bad midas. So he made a mistake. So he spaced out. So what? There's a difference. Sometimes a person is showing that he's not so close to you. Sometimes the person is just self-centered. He's selfish. He's a selfish person. So what? He messed you up. So.
You don't have to do the same first time anymore.
Yes, you do. Why not?
But you're not. He's wrong. He's the guy.
So he's wrong.
But he's always going to be that same guy. Let's
say so?
But it's not his fault.
So? As long as he, again, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's the come if someone defines a relationship. Let's say you get close to a Rebbe, and you think that it's mamish k'mayim upon him, that this Rebbe feels so close to you. So mamish, so close to you. And you never, you know, Rabbeim a mitzvah sometimes, mechuyev, to act in different ways. You know, that's a much more tricky, much more tricky thing. But let's say you go to Eretz Yisrael for his man or something, whatever. You come back and you say, Shalom Aleichem, I missed you so much. And he says, what was your name again? He obviously does not remember who you are. So is it nekama not to feel that closeness anymore? That's the mitzvah. He obviously does not remember who you are. That's the mitzvah. It happens sometimes. He obviously does not remember who you are. But if he does something that maybe is silly or because he's distracted or he doesn't respond the way you expected him to respond, he's not redefining the relationship. He's just doing something stupid because people sometimes make mistakes. Or maybe it's my perception and really not a mistake. Maybe that's the way he was supposed to act and it's not a mistake. And so on. So then that's exactly what he's talking about here. Someone did something bad to you, don't go back and be his friend. We're talking about someone who wants to be your friend. Because sometimes all of us have good friends, or all of us have been in the other end, also that we've made this stupid mistake. All of us have had good friends that I have very, very good friends, very, very close friends, and I'm in trouble. So I pick up the phone and I say, Pliny, I'm in big trouble, could you please come? And he says, I'm too tired. He's not redefining a relationship. I'm friends with him for 10 years. He just did something very stupid. When your friend calls for help, you run. So then there's the Isra of Nakam. It's Ani Hashem, we said before. You know, it's totally in the Havchan over here. I think there's a difference. I can't believe it. The Mesilas Hashara means that someone demonstrates to you that he feels differently to you than you thought he felt, and you should make believe that you don't know how he feels about you. It's not true. But sometimes the person just does something stupid, but he's still 100%, he's ready to be your friend. He still thinks he belongs on your mailing list. But then it's the comments, so yeah, that's how you treat me? I'll show you how I'm going to treat you. I'm not going to be such a good friend anymore. I'm moving back. I'm taking a step back on this relationship after that happens.
There's some amount of steps
right
in the back.
Right.
Let's
Right?
Real bad.
Really, really bad, yeah.
Totally mistreat, like
totally
you
mistreats
trust,
you, yeah.
Trust.
Right.
So do you trust him anymore? Meaning you're telling me that you should still trust that person.
No,
now
no,
keeping
no,
at the same relationship.
No, no, because you learned
so
something
I'm
about
still
it.
Your friend,
no, so
but
that,
I don't trust him.
Right.
So
yeah,
I'm
but that's a separate thing.
Bank account.
That's a separate. That's right. That's a separate thing. Let's say you have a very, 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 very close friend. Like every time he comes to the house, this thing's missing from the house when he leaves.
Okay.
So I wouldn't invite him back because obviously he's taking things. You know.
But I'm still his good friend.
But in terms of how I'm not going to do anything or change anything because of what he did for me.
It's hard.
It's not even realized.
No, I realize.
Think about it. Think about it. So if you were meichel him, and Rabbi saying, and here now he's getting into mechila. For sure, if someone comes over and asks for mechila, this guy calls me back and says, you know something? I just realized you asked me for help and I didn't come. I can't believe I did that. You asked me for help and I said I'm too tired. I can't believe I did that. And you say, I just want to tell you something. I understand now our friendship is different now. That's the comma. The guy realized his mistake and he called up and he said, I'm sorry. Ma'aseh mechal yon. Then it's avada nekama.
It's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
It's a one-time thing.
Here,
the person keeps doing that.
He apologizes. The person keeps doing it and apologizing, and he has other problems. Some other problems. Im achalto leishalei if you were meichel and that he shouldn't appear to be an enemy. Dai bezeh, that's enough. Im gamle is chaveri, my dear. So you also want to be friends with him. Don't love him so much like originally. That much you shouldn't do. Abba Issa, I just want to say, before I'm not getting into what we're going to say, I'll tell you in a minute of Rambam, but just I mentioned this with Aino. We have to realize that many times the way we act to other people, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts us with a relationship also. Trusts us with a relationship. And sometimes, Lamashal, sometimes I'll do something that I know the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want to do. So I'm betraying a relationship. I'm betraying my relationship with the Rebbe Shalom. Do I mean to betray the relationship? Do I mean not to be so close to Hashem? No. I have a big Yetzirah, and sometimes my Yetzirah pushes me to betray my relationship with Hashem. So I go back to Hashem, and I say, Hashem, I'm sorry. Please be my friend again. Please be close to me again. I'm sorry. So do you want the Rebbeinu Shalom to show you the same Ava as originally, or do you want the Rebbeinu Shalom to say, okay, fine, I'll accept your mechila, but don't think I'm going to love you as much as I did originally. Which one do we want from the Rebbeinu Shalom? We want the Rebbeinu Shalom to say, it never happened. It never happened. It never happened. It never happened. That's what we want. We have to realize when we treat other people, someone does something to me, and, oh, that's it, I'm sorry now. Now already you crossed the line. You stabbed me in the back. Now already things will never be the same again. Is that what you expect from the Rebbeinu Shalom? Is that what you want? When you're going to go back to Yom Kippur, and you're going to say, Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, Chadei Shomeinu Kikedem, once we were so close, please take me back. Do you want the Rebbeinu Shalom should be Geyser? I'll take you back, but not as much as it was originally. Is that what we want? The Chayin Kol Kiyotu was a Mimine Acharitzah Shaviyetzah, Mashu Mishtada Lefatois as Libois Bnei Ha'odam, when he tries to be Mefata the hearts of people, Al Kain Bo HaTorah V'Kolo Lo Klal Sha'Kol Nichlal Boi, therefore the Torah comes and puts it into a cloud that everything is Nichlal in it, V'Yohavtu L'Reacha Kamoicha, Kamoicha B'Li Shum Hefrish, Kamoicha B'Li Chilukim, B'Li Tachbulais U'Mezimais. Kamoicha, you have to love your friend just like you. Just like you love yourself, without any difference, without any chilukim, without any tricks, without any, no tznoim. You love kamoicha mamish. You love your friend like you love yourself. Things like plans. Okay. It's getting later. Okay, so here these are some of the examples that the Mesillas Yesharim brings. Ephraim, I think I'm right about this thing. I mean, we'll think about it. We'll continue to think about it. What do you mean by that? L'shem Shemayim not to be your friend? His friend? L'shem Shemayim. L'shem Shemayim, you're allowed to keep away from someone. Harchek mishachin ro. That's not nekama, that's not with anger. With tsari, you sometimes have to keep away from people. It's not healthy. It's not healthy to hang around certain types of people. We saw yesterday the chinuch about nekama. Today we're going to see the Rambam. Rambam says like this: Hanoike mechaveiro oivre b'loy sasei. Somebody who takes nekama from his friend is oivre b'loy sasei. Shenema loy sikoim. As it says, don't take nekama. The apal pishe einai loike olav. Even though you don't get malchus for it, deya rohi ad me'oid. It's bad deya. It's a bad hashkafa. Even though you don't get malchus for it, it's still a terrible lot. Ella, okay, let's listen very, very carefully. Ella roi loy lo adam, it's befitting for a person liyos maver al midoiso. To be maver, to let it pass, to be mavata. Al kol divrei ha'olam, on all inyanim of the world, shahakol, incredible words, shahakol eitzel ha'mevinim, because everything by people who understand, divrei hevel v'havai, is nothingness. Everything is nothing, the Rambam says. The Einon Kedai Linkoim Aleim, it's not worth taking the Kama because of them. Incredible thing. Incredible thing. The Rambam is saying, you know what, I'm going to read you inside. The Klayakar, both on Chumash, also goes with the same Mahala. He says like this. He says anything that happens that negates the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that's negates Avodas Hashem, their avada nekama is proper. We spoke about yesterday. Nekama for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is covered. Kol Tamid Chacham Sheinim Noikim V'Noiter Kenoshes Kenachosh. The Gemara says that Tamid Chacham is supposed to take nekama. The Gabi Inyanim that are negates Ruchnius. Avol Al Kol Hamayrois Shebegufos. But in all physical Mayrois and everything that's negates to the physical. Hashem didn't want that a person should be mevakesh nekama for them. He says like this. Moshe l'ma'a dover doima. Let's see a moshe. L'tinoik ha'mesachek v'oise maise nairus. It's a moshe to a baby, a child. A child, let's say, is on the beach, and he's making a sandcastle on the beach. Now to him, as we know from Yisrael Salanter, you know, that talks about this a little bit. Actually, when a child is building a sandcastle on the beach, it's the same thing for him right now as if I was building a real castle. He's living in that world of imagination. Right now, there's nothing in the world that's more important than that sandcastle that he's building for himself now. It's the most important building in the world. Be'eza binyan o'eza davar acher, u'bo'eza odom, a person comes by, the kilkil kol ma'isav asher, bonav asher, not the hayelet. Someone comes by, stamps on the sandcastle, destroys it. It's destroyed. Now, for this kid, it's mamish 9/11. His palace was destroyed. His whole castle was just came down. It's a tragedy. So what does he do? The hayelet tzayek l'fnei ovim. So the child cries to his father. Tz'oko gedayla umara, a big and bitter cry. I'll say about this. Now, the ilu haya aviv mashgiach boy, if his father would listen to him, va'oisa ritzayne, and do what this child wants, haya hayreg l'zeh ha'adam. His father would go and kill the person. The person destroyed his building. He would go and kill him. That's what the kid wants. The kid can't imagine an atrocity so big as destroying his sandcastle. There's nothing so big. Omnom aviv einoy mashgiach b'kay loy klau. His father says, don't worry about it. You'll build another one. His father doesn't listen at all. Even though the cotton, because of his limited intelligence, thinks that this person did such a horrific thing to him, the father sees with his seichel that it's not that way. The seichel maisa haben hoyu havolim. Maisa ta'atuim ve'enon kedai sheba'avurim yielo zeke oyevu misnakeim. It's not a reason, you know, my son tells me to go destroy somebody's life because he popped his balloon. It's not worth making enemies over a popped balloon, we all realize that. But when that kid has one balloon in it, you know, that's his prize of the day, he has his balloon or his sandcastle or his thing, there's nothing in the world that's worse than if that thing gets destroyed. And it's taka feels very bitter to the child. And if the child had his way, he would hurt, you know, he would really hurt someone who destroys his little toy. Well, it's 5 cents to you, but to him it's his most exciting thing of the day. Kachu ha'inyan, he says. This is the same thing by Nekama. Bein avinu shebashamayim libruha between Hashem and his creations. Asher lefi miyot hasagosem b'miskolos heim chayshim ki kol inyanei ha'olam hazeh yesh b'hem tzad mailu l'shleimus. We think that our $50,000 car is mamish one of the most important things in the world. But to the Rabbeinu Shlem, do you think there's any difference between a $50,000 car and a sandcastle? Do you think there's any difference to the Rabbeinu Shlem? We're babies also. We're also babies with toys. We're also babies with our little Olam Hazeh things that were makbid on. Someone ripped my suit and it's become such a big anger. And I searched for a long time for this suit and it was such an expensive suit. But as far as it's a sandcastle. And a person, he said, he starts going through, and a person, someone does something, someone destroys a person's house, possessions, you know, feelings, already worth very, very much to us. So we mamish feel like the person did the biggest avil in the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it, it's like, it's not negiah to ruchnis, it's nothing, it's not negiah to the real world. This is tough. This is a very tough thing. We talked about yesterday was tough. I think this maybe is even tougher. To reach a madrega, to reach a point, again, this is not for one day, we're just describing the madrega now. To reach a point where the only thing that's really chashuv in my life, the only thing that's really important, are the things that I'm going to keep. Kilei b'maisa yikach hakol. The things I'm going to keep, that's important. The things that are going to stay with me. My real accomplishments. Rabbi said, we all know this as a fact, but can we ever live like this? Do we ever demonstrate this lamaisa? This is a big challenge. This is something to work on. What's more valuable? I'll ask everyone. What's more valuable? Daf Ayin Dalet and Kedushin or a Mercedes? What's more valuable? What? So, I mean, if you make a cheshbon, it's a ferish apasuk. It says in the Torah that all the kesef and the zav in the world are la yishvu la, not shavah to a word of Torah. All the gold and silver in the world is not shavah to even if you want it in pure pleasure value, one word of Torah is more chashuv than a Mercedes. Because we know that if someone learns Torah, he's zoicha d'chaya olam haba. Right? Is that clear? Everyone knows that, right? One word of Torah, and you get a certain measure of olam haba. So how much pleasure is olam haba? How valuable? How much would you pay for 1 minute of olam haba? So you have to make the cheshbon, your best famous cheshbon. That the Gemara says that kol chayi olam hazeh, the whole olam hazeh is not equal to a smell of olam haba. Not even being in olam haba, just the smell of olam haba. And Rav Dessler says, take all the pleasure that you ever had in your entire life and concentrate it into one moment. Imagine, pretty potent. Concentrate it to one moment. Then take all the pleasure that everyone in the entire generation has ever had in their life and concentrate into the same moment. It's already explosive. Then take all the pleasure that all the people that ever lived ever had in their entire life and still concentrate it into the same moment. It's kol chayi olam hazeh. And take all the pleasure that everyone that will ever live will ever have in their entire lives and pack all that pleasure into one moment. And that is less than a breath of Olam Haba, than a smell of Olam Haba, not even going into Olam Haba. But one word of Torah puts me into Olam Haba. So what's more valuable? Daf Ayin Dalet and Kedushin or a Mercedes? What's more valuable? Daf Ayin Dalet is not just a little bit more valuable. It's much more valuable. And it's pashut. It's seichel, it's pashut. It's pashut. But is there anybody who could say with confidence, myself included, that if I have a choice of learning the Ayin Dalet in Kedusha, or missing the Ayin Dalet in Kedusha and driving my own with 3 miles on it, straight out of the shop, my own brand new Mercedes, which one would I pick? It's a tough question. It's not even so tough. This is why this Rambam is so hard. It's very easy to learn these things inside the Rambam. Yeah, it's all Havai, it's all nothing. But it's not the way we live our life. We live our life that Olam Hazeh is chashuv to us. Our home, our car, our possessions, our clothing. I need to have this type of shoes I need to wear. Exactly this type of shoes. If it's this type or this type, it's not good. I need to wear this type, and I dafka got these shoes on sale in this place, and my friend took them and ruined them. Anger, nekama. But if I wouldn't pierce them, so what's the difference what pair of shoes I wear? So I'll have one pair less of shoes, so what will be? Nowadays, the boys have as many shoes as the girls, you know. So I'll have one pair less of shoes. So I'll have, not an insult to Chava, that's for sure. I'll have one pair, she doesn't have any shoes, I don't think, does she? One pair of shoes. She's doing better than we are. This is a very tough thing. But it's an emes, Rabbi Yisai. And I want to point out that when you have an emes, it's not a pshat that we sit by a Moshe Seder and we say it. It's very, very nice, but I can't live that way and walk out the door. Every thinking person feels a moral imperative to live truth. It's truth. And we're not living truth. It's a dover chomer. We're not living truth. We have to at least think about how we should head in the direction of living truth. It's not the pshat. This is something we said at Moshe Seder. It's true. It's very good for the Rambam to say. Maybe the Rambam was on Mercedes in the times of the Rambam. It was very easy for the Rambam to say, but for us, I just can't do it. I throw it out the window. We're throwing truth out the window. This is truth. That Ruchnius is what's valuable and Gashmius is not valuable. Let me read you Rabbeinu Yoina. What? All right, but there's still but the Ayin Dalet is already L'Shem Shemayim. Not even in Yisrael.
If you will have with the Mercedes, maybe you'll be able to lean more.
Marcus, yeah.
You're working hard. You're working hard.
Marcus Jasher. Marcus Jasher.
What does it do?
It's saying that Ayin Dalet is okay. It's going to be...
All right, I'm talking about it.
Ayin Dalet has to be very hard.
Well, I tell you that, Rabbeinu Yoina says in Mishlei, David, it's Mishlei Yud Dalet Chavtes. Oy teida, ki hakas v'koytza ruach, anger, shortness of spirit, also anger, v'koytza ruach means anger, yivalbel ha-machshavet, it destroys a person's machshavet. He says like this. He says, a person has to v'tamid tikra'enu t'lois ha-machizis ha-zadam. Things that make a person angry will always happen. No one's going to reach a point in their life that they're so secure that nothing makes them angry anymore. People will always have reason to be angry. There's a lot of aggravation in the world. There's a lot of pain in the world. So what should a person do? A person should uproot love of this world. A person should uproot love of this world from his heart. That it's painful things shouldn't bother him. And it's exciting things shouldn't be so exciting to him. Because he says these two things go together. Excitement about Olam Hazeh. You know, needing Olam Hazeh. Caring about Olam Hazeh. And kas, which leads to nekama. We'll talk about kas in a few days. But kas, which leads to nekama, go together. A person wants to be nitzel from nekama, a person has to learn how to stop caring so much about Olam Hazeh. Now the example I gave was really unfair, I was really not being fair, and I'm usually trying to be fair. It's not fair, it's beyond us right now to sacrifice a Daf Ayin Dalet for a Mercedes. It's beyond. If one person would ever do it, it would be a kainalei Olam Haba, but it's beyond us right now, it's very, very hard for us to do. Very, very hard for us to do such a thing. We've sacrificed Daf Ayin Gemara for a lot stupider reasons. We sacrificed it to go to chasimus of people who didn't know our first name. We've sacrificed it to take care of things, to talk to people, to sleep. right? No one would ever sacrifice. No one would ever say, you're giving me a new car. I hear, thank you very much for the offer. However, I'm very tired. I'm not going to be able to get it. Nobody would ever do that. We have a lot to learn still about what's important in life. I just want to make one suggestion. I want to make one suggestion that's nagia for our world, for our life, the flamais over here. Because we're not talking, so far we didn't talk flamais. We talk flamais in our heads, but we didn't talk flamais for our hearts. Let's talk flamais. Flamais, here's what we need to do. What we need to do is not to stop our involvement with Olam Hazeh. We need to be to a certain extent involved with Olam Hazeh. And not to stop appreciating Olam Hazeh. We need to stop making it vital to us, the little things in Olam Hazeh. It needs to stop being such an important thing. I'm not saying to stop wearing the nice suits. I'm just saying that it should stop being so important. And we need to put things in a proper perspective. That we could start doing, get a little bit more mature, we can start reaching a point that we start putting our life into proper perspective. What's very important to us, and what's less important to us? And it's true with everything, it's something that goes on within a person's heart, and there are many, many, many chances that a person has to have that. A couple of weeks ago, I went into New York for Shabbos, I went to my father for Shabbos, and my wife does a tremendous chesed for me. When we go away for Shabbos, she does the packing. She packs my stuff also. Usually we go away right after a Thursday night chabura, so I don't think we'd be able to go away. So she takes that upon herself. It was very, very nice. So we got to Brooklyn, and my soup was in a soup bag. It was right before Shabbos. It was Shabbos Chanukah. Right before Shabbos, my father was waiting by the menorah already, and I was getting dressed. And I reach into the suit bag and I see my suit jacket, but the pants weren't there. And I realized that probably they were on a different hanger. And I used all my self-control to say very nicely to my wife, when you packed my suit, did you check if the pants were on the hanger? She said, no, it usually is. I just assumed that it was. Oh. And I was like, trying to like straighten out my weekday pants, like maybe if you like it. It wasn't really a match. And I was in Flavish, it wasn't like I was in Waterbury for Shabbos, like, you know. I was in Flavish for Shabbos, like people do actually notice if you're wearing a suit or not. And I had a beautiful tie and a beautiful jacket, I just didn't have my suit pants. It was an upsetting thing. I realized then, and it's a lesson. That's a good example. By the way, the end of the story, I see everyone's in suspense. The end of the story was that I fall into the bottom of the soup bag. That's the end of the story.
Found it much sharper.
No, I found it a few minutes later. That's the end of the story.
It happens many times.
And I had a big lesson from that story. As I think is that, if I would have gotten really upset about it, my tefillah would be to get very upset about that, because to have such aggravation for such a silly mistake, it's very aggravating. And Baruch Hashem, for some reason, at the Yad Hashemayah, I didn't get very, very aggravated about it. I still had the presence of mind to think that maybe it would be there. But if I would have gotten aggravated about it, you could be sure that I would have found a matzah Shabbos under the soup bag. And then I would have felt doubly stupid. But what's again for us is that things like this happen to everyone. Most people don't talk about it for Rabbi, maybe, like I do. But things like this happen to everyone. If you get your glasses somewhere, your shirts aren't ready, you have to wear an old wrinkled shirt, your shirts aren't ready by the cleaners, someone's going, this happens, I'm sure people are involved in shidduchim, get all the pressure of everything you have to be ready for the date, and your car is by the mechanic, and you have a nice car and it's by the mechanic, and it's just not ready on the day of the date, so you have to borrow Sunshine's blue and white car in the back window, you know, and it's just, you know, a little bit painful because your beautiful car is just straight out of the car wash, it's by the mechanic with a flat tire, you know, whatever it is. These things happen all the time. Worst things happen, Rabbi said. This world is full of many worse things also, more difficult things. Rachmel, it's not, there are fires, there are disruptions in families, there are shidduchim that don't work out. There are all kinds of things, all kinds of plans that fall through, all kinds of things that are really aggravating. That's already a very high madrega. I'm talking about the petty things. I didn't have my suit for Shabbos. Like, let's say I wouldn't have had my suit that Shabbos. Let's say. It would have been a very embarrassing Shabbos. I wouldn't have had my suit that Shabbos. Today, right here, I'm sitting and giving this shir, I'm still see sharp. How would it be affecting me? Nothing. It would be long be forgotten, except that I wouldn't have had a good story to say. You know, I'm not finding it, I mean. know, it wouldn't affect me at all. These are the opportunities. That's what I want to suggest. When I'm anyway in a situation, I don't have the pair of pants. I just don't have it. And like, I don't have the glasses. My clothing are ripped. You show up to a chasana, you drive up the water, you show up to a chasana, as you walk again, the waiter spills soup on you. So you have a big stain across your sleeve. And you punked wearing your light suit that day. So it's like, it looks now like a camouflage suit, you know, like a spots on it. There's nothing you can do about it now. There's nothing that you can do about it now. You have two choices. You could either be very, very aggravated and continue to be mashed in your heart, avas tevel, how important dilemma is and how embarrassing it is that, how embarrassing it is to be without a suit, like keep trying to turn in one direction the whole time. You'll be facing in one direction, you know. You know, you have to measure how you're sitting, like close to a wall, you know. You can either do that, or you can say, you know something? It's not so important. I'm not going to remember about it tomorrow. I had a very good friend who used to say, never cry today, that's something you're going to laugh about tomorrow. It's a good rule. I'm going to laugh about it tomorrow. I could sit with a bunch of guys now and talk about it. I wasn't laughing then, believe me. But now I could laugh about it. It's funny. I could laugh about it. That's an opportunity, I think. I'll derech hamoser, a little bit of an opportunity. But you don't have a choice anyway. It's not a question of madrigas. You don't have the thing. You don't have it. You went away for Shabbos, and you went away for Shabbos, and you're wearing a t-shirt and sneakers, and you show up there, and you have your suit and everything. Just in that, you're considering Shabbos shoes. You have to show up with suit and sneakers. Schmack. You know? You're schmack. And you're pointing to wearing like these like light blue and white sneakers.
Orange,
you know?
Like orange.
You know? And you have like a fancy black, you know, pinstripe suit and a beautiful hat. Everything is perfect, you know. And you're walking with blue sneakers. It's very aggravating. It's very, very aggravating. But now we're laughing about it. That's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, you know something? It's not so important. Some people think I'm a little bit of an interesting kind of guy. Okay. So what? The truth is most people don't notice these things. You know, you come back the next time, you go, you might have noticed, I looked a little funny last Shabbos. They'll be like, what are you talking about? Most people don't, you know. What are you talking about? Those are opportunities. When these things go wrong, those are opportunities. I come into the parking lot and I see there's a scratch on my car. So I have two choices now. I can get aggravated and upset and start getting angry and find you get who was parked next to me, who was driving his car, and I could just say, you know something? A car with a scratch, a car without a scratch, it drives exactly the same way. I have experience, I'm telling you, exactly the same way. It drives exactly the same way. I once lent my car to somebody, and he returned it to me scratched. And I have a car when I lend my car, I don't lend my car out that often, but I have a car that when I lend it out, it's Sover Akiva. It's with the understanding that if something happens to it, of course, if a person does damage, I would want them to pay for it and so on. I'm not getting angry. If I lend it to them, I know that something could happen. That's life. Something could happen when I'm driving the car also. So if I lend it out, the person I lend it to knows that no matter what happens, he's not going to face an angry person when he gets back. No matter what. That's my clue. If I think that I can't do that, so I won't lend it out. I don't feel like it's right to lend it out, then if something happens, you get angry.
Actually,
things happen.
I just broke the car.
Morty broke my car yesterday. It's all part of the fun. So I lent the car out and the person scratched it. I returned it to me and he showed me that he scratched it. He was very upset. I was like, don't worry about it. And he was so choked up and so emotional and so, it was so meaningful to him that I wasn't much good about it, but our relationship hasn't been the same since then. I mean, it's Ernst. Honestly. It did something for our relationship, my relationship with that person. Here's the thing, now Rabbi said, for the better, much better. It became much deeper. Because he saw that the way my car looked, this was my car before it was blue and white. I mean, before it was blue and white, and when it had all its windows, I'm talking about. But you know, I told the person that it's okay. When I lend it out, I know that sometimes things happen to a car. And Lamaisa, I got a friendship. My car is all, you know, now that I've scratches on all the sides to match, I just have this friendship now. So I think that again, we read a Rambam now. The Rambam is a very, very high thing to achieve. It's a very hard thing to achieve. And we could talk about it during Musa Seyd, and we could spend time on it and bring rias to it and Rabbeinu Yonis and everything. It's still very hard to achieve. But this is something that every person could do. Every person could do in any area of life that he's in. When the disappointments come, when your kid, when Chava will spill dark purple grape juice on her carpet or on her couch, so then Shmuel will have a chance to say, to say, what do I value more, my kid's feelings? If I give a kid a cup of grape juice or a bottle of grape juice, it's with the understanding that they might stay in the couch. That's life. I chose to get married and to have children, and Baruch Hashem, I have them. Baruch Hashem, I have them. And that's it. That's what comes with the territory. That's the right attitude. I'll just end off. I know we went very, very long. I'll just end off that I once heard an interesting thing. It says in Chazal, one of the reasons that we spill wine, we pour wine by Havdalah, so the wine spills over. So it says, for a Simen Bracha, it says, Kol bayis shalei nishbach b'yayin k'mayim eina roya Simen Bracha. If a house wants to have a Simen Bracha, it needs that wine spills like water. That you show that you're free, you're brave. We'll talk about that yisoid. There's a big yisoid from there. We'll talk about that another time. But you show that you're not like so mitzumtzum, you have to measure exactly. If it spills over, it's also okay. That's the pashut pshat, at least that's the Simen Bracha. What? What? Yeah, okay. A sheer drip. Yeah. Yeah. So, Big Talmud Chacham once told me, it means like this. Your little chafa will be on her grandmother's, walking on her grandmother's off-white living room carpet with a cup of water, and it will spill on the floor. So it'll say it's just water, it's going to dry. But if she spills wine on the floor, then it's not going to dry. Whole bias, any house, that the reactions in the house are that it's the same thing when wine spills as when water spills, is always Roya Simen Bracha.